It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hi.
What's happening?
Oh my gosh, we're actually recording. It's all going well.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I usually mess up something.
Normally we have to start 3 or 4 times in a row.
So if you guys go to our YouTube channel that doesn't exist, you'll see that Jamie is looking really nice today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All new redo, top to bottom.
But she's drinking, what is that, vodka orange juice?
Yeah, that's how I survived the studio. All right. So do you have any fun facts for us to start, kick us off?
Anything? Jeez, put me on the spot.
I know.
No?
Well, I was looking at, so it says...
Oh, go to our Facebook page. It's all fun facts.
That's true. The data... So I have this fun trend data that I was looking at earlier today.
Is it Funda?
Funda. And it says that new listings, a measure of sellers putting homes up for sale, rose 1.7% year over year. So new listings
is up almost 2%.
Yep, above a year ago levels for the second consecutive week.
Yeah.
While
it's better than going the other direction.
New listings trailed last year's metrics for most of the year, making this pickup noteworthy. Active inventory climbed 2% year over year. So where homes are edging a little bit higher. Homes spent the same amount of time on the market as they did a year ago. So they're sitting the same amount of time. And the median listing price fell 2.3% year over year.
That's nationwide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which seems, I don't know. It's hard for me to look at the house prices sometimes because they seem, as a human, they just seem outrageous.
They seem high.
Outrageous. Well, and
I put one on the market today. It's like, yes. I know I did my CMA of all the comparables. The market justifies it, but it seems kind of high.
Well, and I think what's absolutely hard as a realtor and a person that lives in this community is that when you do the comps, sometimes the square footage doesn't match. It doesn't make
it never
sense.
Matches.
Right. And so it's hard when you're looking at it.
But
like,
just so you know, we usually use within 20% of either side of our subject property. And that's
right. But it's like sometimes it can be 380 a square foot. You know, sometimes it can be 180 a square foot. Sometimes
it can be $100 a square foot.
Yes. It's so wild. But then you have your clients sometimes that look at that and say, I'm not paying $400 a square foot. And you're like, that's totally fine. But that's what this
more
house...
people have gone back to price per square foot.
Yes.
But in past years, past classes, past education we've done, they've asked us to throw that out because you could have a almost burned down house that's 4,000 square feet in a swamp that's $50 an acre, or a 800 square foot super brand new build on Chena Ridge with a super view at $500 a square foot. So.
Right. Yes.
Everything in between. So yes. It just depends on a bunch of different variables.
Yes. And so I think that's been the biggest challenge is just making sure to educate. Because even the so I had a client call and they said the square footage doesn't make sense. And then I'm looking at what it was listed for last year and the taxes on that. And I said, you know, we're a non-declare state. We always want the assessment to be as low as possible because, again, as soon as the borough sees what the house assesses for or sells for, that's exactly what they're going to tax you on. And we never want that. You know, you never want exactly because they're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah.
And so we always want, but it's hard, again, when you see – hypothetically, let's say a house for $176,000 selling for $380,000. And then they're like, well, that's what it sold for. And I'm like, no, that's not what it sold for. That's what the borough is assessing it at. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what they're basing the tax value on. And that's what you want them to base it on. And so that makes a lot of sense to a client. But
yeah,
when they
it's from the year before.
Correct.
They went outside. They didn't go inside.
Correct.
And it's for a tax roll. It's not a mortgage appraisal.
Yes.
It's for a tax roll.
But again, I think what what I have found sometimes is that then a client, a buyer, latches on to that $176,000 number, and in their head they think that's what that house should be worth.
I've seen them high, slow, yeah, spot on, yes, everything. So,
and so to me, sometimes I'm like, you got to let that go, because that's what we, again, we always want that number. I mean, in a dream world, you'd want that number to be in the hundreds. You know what I mean? Because, again, you'd be taxed on that and your taxes would be exceedingly low. And so I'm always like, no, we want that to be as low as possible. I mean, there, as a learning lesson, in Alaska and maybe in other states as well, there are people that build their houses that don't even finish the outside of the house because they want it to look as, I don't know the right word, they want it to look as unappealing to the borough as possible so that the borough will drive by, assess it as low as possible, and the inside, like we have a friend that we will not name, that the inside of the house is $500,000, if not more, but the outside of their house, which is a very large house, but it looks horrible from the outside. And they leave it on purpose looking as shabby as possible because they pay a very low tax rate.
So in 2006, I think,
yeah,
I brought in a tax assessor to our office meeting, and we had to talk about how, you know, what do you use, what's your process, you know, why they differ, why are some higher or lower, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. And then we did discuss the outside because people were pulling that, you know, 20 years ago,
right,
leaving their siding off, thinking, and it calculated, I think they took $2,000 off the overall taxes, and then the mill rate of, say, like 16%, and they saved like 16 bucks. I can't remember, whatever it was.
Sure.
It was just, it was a stupid low amount that they, yeah, saved yearly in taxes to have that going on the outside. So,
yeah,
it's silly.
But again, I mean, when you're totally against paying taxes, and that we do have Alaskans that are against paying taxes and don't want to pay taxes, I think every little bit counts. Because sometimes,
that's
like,
silly.
Here's a perfect example. Our taxes went up. Our neighbor's taxes went up because they put a greenhouse on the property, and then all of a sudden I think their taxes went up several hundred dollars, and so for a greenhouse, because that was an added,
well, they're also getting just more aggressive in general,
yes, and so again they've
they
done
more
nothing.
Assessors more
they've
educated assessors
done nothing
better programs
to the house, right,
yeah,
that would raise, but again, houses are selling higher, and so they're assessing every house in the neighborhood.
Go back into our archives when we brought Mayor Ward on, and we talked about when the first assessments first started happening. Was that 3-4 years,
yeah,
ago? And it hasn't stopped since then. So
right. Oh, no, they're everywhere. So
silly. Let me do, yeah, some math on that real quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I get it. If you're trying to save money anywhere, because most of the time once you let them into your house, you know, to appeal it, you're not. I
don't let them in your house.
Right. But I mean, some people appeal because they think, oh my gosh, there's no way my taxes should have gone up. I haven't done any improvements. I haven't.
$3.20 on the.
Is what you'll save.
Is what you'll save.
Yeah. So anyway.
Per year.
If you're just joining us, we're just talking different things that are going on. We were talking about saving money on taxes. Looking at the price of houses right now, it does seem a little bit outrageous, but I will say this. I will say that we are seeing some fantastically stunning homes going on the market. I do think that sellers are trying a lot more to do updates. I'm going to say some really fantastic things that I've seen on the market, which are a lot of updates, a lot of great staging. I've definitely seen some great yard work. I've seen a lot of fixes. I've seen, like, even I reached out, an early reach out to a couple of different brokerages, seeing some teasers on the market that might fit things that my clients were looking for. And they said that they were waiting on engineer inspections, pre-engineer inspections, which was thrilling. That way,
the house I'm putting up today has a pre-engineer,
yes,
inspection.
And I love that. I mean, not that I don't love getting my own engineer. I do like that process. I like being a part of the process of the engineer inspection. But sometimes when you're rushing to get everything done, and I'm sorry, especially right now with how booked out the engineers are, knowing that that's already,
yeah,
done.
Almost a month for two of the mainstream ones we use. Yeah.
Yeah, and two of them are out of town. So I think that having those things already done and being able to kind of come in and be like, great, we can start right off the bat with what we would like fixed, or we're feeling great and we don't want any fixes done. I think, or to even be able to, like, sometimes I see some of those and I'm like, we would just like a quote right off the bat. Let's just get a quote for the big fix of something. And then that way the buyer is ready to know, like, what that's going to cost. That is just a...
There's a ton of stuff you can do to make your house more appealing. You could get a septic test, water test. You can get a survey done. You can get do your disclosures before or quickly after when they go to market.
Right.
You can get PURs done if you don't have those done. I mean, we have...
What's a PUR?
PUR.
What's a PUR?
You want me to go through that? We could do a whole show on PURs.
Well, just,
but that's two things that in Alaska Housing required them post-1998 to go Alaska Housing. One of them is the energy rating. The other one is the engineer's inspection from plans all the way to finishing the house. So the look at the foundation, electrical, plumbing, all the systems of the house.
I think I will say there again, there was a house, I think I brought it up several years ago that went on the market. It was out toward Badger, I think. And it needed a lot of work. But I will say, and I wish I knew the realtor that was listing this property, they did their due diligence. Not only did they get an engineer inspection on this house, but they got quotes for the big things that needed to be done, showed the price adjustment for that quote. So I'm going to make up the numbers to make it easy, but let's say the house was $500,000. They brought it down to $400,000. It needed $100,000 in work that was quoted on. They had the quotes for the work. And they had the people that said that they could do the work. All of that was included in the listing packet. And it was just phenomenal because there was no way for the buyer to dispute, oh, that's what needs to be done. They knew what needed to be done. They had a company that they could reach out to. They had two different quotes from two different companies on all the things that needed to be fixed. And then which were the big ticket items. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like walking into that, you walked in as a buyer, eyes wide open. You had companies that you were able to reach out to do the fixes. You had two different companies to choose from, which would work for your lender. And I just felt like it was amazing because I've brought buyers in lately to a couple of properties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very obvious what's wrong with the house. And then they'll do a price drop. But in the buyer's eyes, like we've talked about in many shows, the price drop doesn't constitute the amount of work that they think needs to be done. And part of me is like,
Repair versus replace. Yep.
Right. And I'd like to think that realtor knows what they're doing. So knows like, okay, that's probably about $50,000 in work. But in the buyer's head, it's $150,000.
Exactly right. In fact, this house I'm putting on the market today, that's why we've waited a month. Part of it was because... there was water that we wanted to make sure because we had abnormally, it's never happened any other year. We want to make sure that was done. We wanted to perfect every little thing in the house that needed to be fixed.
Right.
We got the engineer's inspection ahead of time because for that exact reason, Jamie, because it's been an 25-year-old adage that repair versus replace.
Right.
Exactly. The reality is of $50,000, like Jamie said, and in buyer's mind, they're taking 150 grand off of it. So,
and that's the conversation I've had. That buyer immediately was like, this is like 150,000. And I thought, I don't think it's that much. But I said, I can go call some companies, get some quotes. And so I really think that it's so important that you have those quotes ready, that you do your due diligence as a realtor to already have those things laid out, because immediately, like, we couldn't go any further. My client immediately wanted to walk. We didn't even finish the tour of the place we were looking at because they were so upset by the condition of the place that we were seeing. And there's been another place on the market, and I gave feedback positively. I gave all the positives of the place, trying to highlight why we would have bought the place. But the one negative was the flooring. It was so off that we could tell there was definitely a problem with maybe how it was leaning or something. And I said, the one thing I would encourage right off the bat, because I couldn't get my buyer to go any further, was an engineer inspection. If this had already been done, which then we could see maybe what the problem was and maybe some quotes of what it would cost to fix it, that would have alleviated the stress of my buyer. But my buyer went already to a 10, and then I couldn't get my buyer to come back from that 10.
And here's the reality of it. We've sold 437 houses average days on market 33. There's 299 houses on the market with an average day of 60 days.
Yeah.
If you're pricing your house well, it shows well, and you have the supporting documents, you'll be fine.
Right.
You still could get multiple offers on your property, but if you're overpricing it and you're not putting the work into it, and you're not if there's something that's questionable and you don't have the documentation to back it up, sorry. I mean, there's choices out there for buyers right now.
Right.
So
yes,
it's going to stay on that market longer. You're probably going to get less price.
Yeah. And I think if you can put together as a realtor, if you can put together a small package for your sellers that just explains, listen, we're going to invest this little bit of money, but it's going to pay off tenfold with A, B, and C, so that we can really show our buyers, listen, we can do a price adjustment and then, you redo the cost sheet of what they're going to make. I think, again, it really can help put things in perspective for them.
Totally.
And then, again, they're not, I think sometimes when I do the cost sheet for sellers and I'm showing them, listen, we could keep it where you're paying the mortgage for 3 months, or we could do this small amount for, let's say, $2,000, and we could get it sold now, or hopefully get an offer because we can market it more aggressively, then we're going to save this much in mortgage. So that's really what we're hoping to do, being able to spend a little bit in the beginning. Or we can also say these things are already done, so we can push back a little bit on the buyer of saying, no, we're not going to pay for the appraisal, or we're not going to pay for this because we've already paid for these other things.
So for me, and it's proven itself, the most important things on a listing are good pictures,
yes,
good remarks, and as much documentation as you can. The more pictures you have, the higher price you're going to get, more buyers are going to be attracted to it. The more remarks, the better the remarks are. And there's some people that are lazy that just put a few lines and call it good,
yeah,
a couple paragraph or two and call it good. And the next one is documents. There's so many out there that don't have any, and you're like, no, we'll get to them when we get to them, or wait till we get an offer. No, that is a wrong attitude. I've heard that out of more than one realtor or broker.
Right.
So here's all the things that are possible on our MLS to have. Appraisal. We don't put our appraisals. We usually don't get appraisals,
sure,
but we have our market analysis. I've shared my market analysis more than once before, showing the comps and adjustments that we did. We can back it up. They're coming at such and such price. I'm like, no, here's where it's going to appraise, and I promise you it's going to appraise.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we do our market analysis, almost guaranteed within $5,000 of either side of that number. So it's rare we leave money on the table or overprice it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and then come back to what we can get.
God, Jamie.
I know I talked too long. I'm sorry.
Jamie.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
who is dead to us.
We need to have what's his name record our other intro.
Well, what can happen now is, I mean, for 3 years it could happen, but we could actually record it and then then transcript it and then have it rewritten.
Ooh, but what if we have a new, we could have a new space, who knows? So then, you know, we could advertise all that.
Good.
So maybe we should wait.
God, you're so smart.
I know.
It's that new, it's new outfit. It's your whole transformation that you got in Las Vegas.
I know. You got to do that every once in a while.
It's good for your brain.
Okay. So if you're just joining us, we're just talking about things that are going on in the market right now, lessons learned, things to think about as a buyer and a seller. But we are talking about things that you should have when you're hiring a realtor. These are the things that you should be providing your realtor, and your realtor should be providing on the MLS on the listing.
Your realtor should be asking you to get a bunch of different documents. So we talked about if you want the most amount of money, least amount of time, have great photos, have great remarks, and then do what your realtor tells you to do. And if you need to fix stuff and get it ready for market, get ready for market. Don't push it through, get it ready. But documents is my third one, having as many documents. So I'm just going to go through our whole list of what's available. Jamie, quiz me on anything. First one was appraisal. We usually don't have pre-sale appraisals every once in a while. Maybe somebody's, if a seller's going to challenge me and let's say we're just way off, I'll say, okay, get an appraisal first because you and I have way different numbers. And, but we have appraisers come in, give us guidance all the time. We know how to do our adjustments. We know how to pick our comparables so they're not too far off, because we don't want very many adjustments if we can. And then we have science and math behind our so we don't usually ever have appraisals coming over or under. They're usually spot on because they're aiming for a number. If they can get close, they're going to put that number down. If they can't support it, then, you know, they're going to come down low. If it's, there's too many to oversupport it, they come in high. So the way we do it, we don't run into that. So maybe maybe I'm speaking for myself, but so appraisal, great if you have one. Some get pretty more, maybe somebody bought it 2 months ago and then something life happened and they put it back in the market. Sometimes we'll see appraisals. CC&Rs, codes, covenants, restrictions. Those are the, how do you want to describe that, Jamie? When a developer puts together a subdivision, the look and feel of the subdivision, they put those codes, covenants, restrictions in. So most subdivisions do have that. Some are outdated. But we do order the listing packets from the title company, see what's been recorded in the state of Alaska. And if there's CC&Rs in there, then we mark yes that they are. Some people like it. They just think they're great. They help keep the look and feel of a subdivision. And some hate them because they're over-restrictive and they want to have chickens and they can't have chickens. So, but it's good to put it out there. So just more the better. Drill logs we usually don't see. You could go down to ADC and see if there's any drill logs. I have done that in the past. I think if it's a questionable property, a questionable well, questionable holding tank, whatever it might be, anything with water, don't be afraid to go down to DEC, get that information, and provide a drill log. I've certainly done that before. Flood zone. I don't know what you'd have documentation on flood zone. I guess if it's in a flood zone, get us your insurance. Nobody does that. Because you know, most people put their mind, okay, well, we owe $3,000 or $4,000 a year on it. And maybe it could be $30 a month. So I've seen everything in between. That's a good idea. If you have in flood zone, can you provide us any flood zone documentation? Otherwise, it could just spook a buyer. So that's actually a good lesson learned for you and I. Floor sketch. We've been doing floor sketches for years now. We know that, 35% of the United States does floor sketches in their properties. I think, what I tell you, Australia is about 75-80% provides floor sketches. And then in Japan, if you don't have a floor sketch, your house does not exist. Yep. So we've been doing it for years. We use either Kupikasa or our photographer uses that same program, so they can come with our photos. So floor sketches are so nice. We didn't really have those until the last couple of years. I would say about half of them up here now, people provide floor sketches, half the realtor. So it's just nice. We're a transient population, so a lot of people are coming up here. We would love to see, you know, does the couch fit here? Does this fit there? And a lot of people just go through with the old school measuring tape. I still carry along a laser so they can shoot it faster. Doesn't matter anymore because now we have floor sketches, so they don't need to do that. So, and something we do too. I did it last week. I'm going to do it today. I just go through a property with, you know, my KeepiCost app and shoot it, and gives me a floor plan and gives me gross living area and blah blah blah. Fuel utility usage. That's a must. That's not normal if they don't have that. So if you don't have your electric, you don't have your water sewer, you don't have your fuel, it's abnormal. So when people don't have that up, usually it a buyer gets a feeling that they're hiding something. Hey, they want to show their electric. They're probably $700 a month. Well, we don't want that. Or right. The fuel, it's using 2,000 gallons a year. That's too much for us. So something's going on. They're not providing it. They put, we self-haul. Well, and tell your people to keep track of that stuff, because it drives me nuts if they self-haul, great. But right. Keep track of your fuel usage, especially if you know you're selling your house coming up in the next year or two.
And I always tell my people, even if you self-haul, somewhere you have a payment statement. You've purchased, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, think about where you purchased. Most of them purchase on a credit card. And I'm like, go back, you have some kind of fuel, and then tell me what you think you did. Did you fill up, or did you get so many gallons? And then we just estimate.
Yeah.
And I've had to put
yes. I've had to put spreadsheets together, but don't.
Yeah.
It's not anything to monkey around with and try to be shady or try to skirt around. You need to.
Right.
We need to know what it costs to operate that. Because.
And I think there's a couple things with that I always have. So, like, here's a perfect example. I did have my client last year when I sold their house in the summer. Their water bill was really high. Well, I said, and they explained. So we put a note at the bottom of the an extra page on the AS3470
disclosures
because their water bill was really high. Well, they said they had 3 kids in sports, so and a lot of sports. Every sport that could their kids could be in, they did. They also had a garden, an extreme garden, which they left, so you could see it outside. We included pictures. And she said that then any water sport they could have outside in the summer. So they had a slip and slide. They had a pool. They had all this stuff. And
right, so utilities, obviously.
Yeah. And they said they let it go because it was the most fun that they had. And it was their last summer in Alaska. So they said
it's cheaper than Disney World.
Yeah.
So.
So they said, we want you to understand that we went a little crazy. And also we made sure that our kids showered before practice and after
every
practice.
So smart, have an explanation.
And so we just didn't want you to freak out but we're not normally like this. Then we provided the year prior so they could see it before. And they said, this is a normal summer in Alaska. This is an abnormal, our last blowout in Alaska. And so we just provided it so they could see. And so, and then we provided explanation to kind of everything. And they said, if you go crazy, and this is the biggest garden we've ever had, plus strawberry patch, plus this, plus, we're leaving all of it. But we just provided everything. And then I did include photographs. And then we did a printout and everything for the potential new buyers.
Jamie, back in the day before marijuana was re-legalized, we would always have to explain the extra unusual high electric bill.
Of the
and
marijuana.
Yeah, garden. I mean, all those grow rooms are now, you go into a house and you know they're abandoned. What did this used to be? A coal room? But so that we used to, I mean, they used to be crazy high and now.
But I mean, a lot, it's really funny because we were doing a sale on another house and the electric bill was extreme during December and January. I mean, outrageous. It was like $2,000.
This last year.
Yes.
Like everybody's was.
But I mean, beyond anything I've ever seen. So we asked a question. I said,
like,
can
four
you
digits?
$2,000 a month.
No.
And I said, can you explain why the number is? Yes. Turned out that their daughter was watching the house. Didn't want to tell their parents that the boiler had gone out, went to Lowe's and Home Depot, bought space heaters because she was terrified to tell her parents what they had done. Her parents were in the Philippines on a trip, finally got the bill and said, what is happening? She said, I have no heat. I've done this. And they said, are you crazy? Called the boiler person.
They could have got a new boiler for 2 months worth of electric.
Yes. So I mean, of course, my buyers thought that was hysterical because they were also from the Philippines. Thought this was so funny. But so, again, asking for an explanation, because sometimes there really is an explanation. We've also had that in a dry cabin. The bill was outrageous. Turned out it was a Californian living in a dry cabin. He had bought space heaters for every single room. Instead, he didn't know how to work the fireplace that was in there. Never asked for a tutorial, never asked for anything. The space heaters just added up. His bill was outrageous.
Oh, my gosh.
So, again, I really encourage just getting information because a lot of times there really is a great explanation what was even funnier was there was 9 space heaters in this house, and he was leaving them with the house. And my buyer was like, what is with all these space heaters? So when we found out the explanation, we were like, okay, this is wild. But we would never, I mean, great to have, but we would never use them. He would use the fireplace. But anyway.
Smokes.
So just ask those questions, find out about those bills.
And then on the listing side, provide them.
Correct.
Provide that information.
Yes.
And your realtor should be looking at it and saying, oh, 200, 250, 250, 250, 3,000. I mean,
yes.
Somebody better catch that and give it an explanation.
I called immediately and was just like, what is happening? Did something happen? And again, once we heard the story, we were like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because then the bill dropped down immediately, of course, as soon as the boiler was fixed. But thank you so much for joining us this week.
Done?
We are done. Our show's over.
Oh,
we got to go for an hour. We got to go for an hour, I think.
What?
Or another show. Have a great Wednesday. Wednesday. I got to stop doing drugs.
Yes.
My God.
Please.
I know. Have a great Saturday.
Pass me that quote-unquote orange soda.
I know. Have a great Saturday. Do we do this on Saturday? What day do we do this?
Saturdays.
Okay. Stay tuned for Behind
the
Mission.
Show?
Every week. I re-listen to us every week, and then I critique myself.
I play you every day. Stay tuned for our Behind the Mission with United Way, and enjoy your Saturday. Take care.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.